I'm going to ask that you would join me in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're just joining us today, we started a few weeks ago working our way verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this wonderful, incredible book, and we're going to be working through it through some time. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 9 all the way through 20. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 all the way through 20. And if you're wondering where 1 Samuel is, go to the beginning of your Bible and start with Genesis and work your way back to the right a couple hundred pages, and you will eventually run into 1 Samuel chapter 1. Is there something going on in your life where you need to see God break through? Is there a miracle that you are longing to see come to pass? Is there a prayer that you desire to see answered? Last week, in the book of 1 Samuel, we were introduced to Hannah. And we saw that Hannah was stricken with grief because she could not have a baby. The text tells us that God had closed her womb. And instead of Hannah becoming bitter and turning her back on God, what does Hannah do? Well, we see what she does in today's text. Hannah buckles down and goes to God in prayer. You see, I had this conviction. I believe this. I believe that prayer is by far one of the most important things that we can do as followers of Jesus Christ. You see, regardless if God answers our prayers or not, prayer does so much for us as followers of Christ. You see, prayer, it draws us into intimacy with God. Prayer, it causes us to spend time with God. Prayer, it aligns our hearts with God's heart. Prayer is our way of saying that we are depending on God in everything, in every aspect of our life. Prayer does so much for us, regardless if God answers the prayers or not. As a matter of fact, prayer is one of our values here at this church. We value prayer here at Lake Center Baptist Church. Our value for prayer, it reads like this: we will desperately depend on God. Therefore, we will be a people who pray for the glory and guidance of God in everything we do. Again, prayer is one of the most important things that we can do as followers of Jesus Christ. Prayer is the open admission that without Christ, we can do nothing. John Piper says that. Charles Spurgeon said, "The power of prayer can never be overrated. If a man can but pray, he can do anything." Man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face to God. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that. In today's text, we see this. We see that Hannah prayed honestly. We see that Hannah prayed honestly. Look at verse 10 again with me. It says that she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord, and she wept bitterly. This phrase, wept bitterly, in verse 10, it's this idea of deep psychological pain. It's the type of pain in the Bible that one had when they lost a child to death. So she was distressed, and she prayed to the Lord, and she wept bitterly before the Lord. She said in verse 15, she said, "I am a woman that is troubled in spirit." She says, "I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord." In verse 16, she says, "I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." You see, Hannah came to God. She came to the Lord, and she prayed honestly before God. You see, Hannah, she didn't have it all together in her prayers. Hannah didn't have the perfect words. She didn't have the perfect presentation. What does Hannah do? Hannah comes to God and she prays honestly to God. She prays honestly before God. You see, me as a dad, whenever my children come up to me and they have something to say to me, whenever they want to talk with me, whenever something is going on, whenever something's going on in their life and they want to tell me about that. I don't tell my kids, I don't say, go and get yourself together. I don't go and say, write your thoughts down, and whenever you gather yourself, come back and talk to me. I don't talk to my kids and tell them, go and get the right and perfect presentation. What do I want for my kids? I want my kids to come to me as they are. And that's exactly how God wants you to pray to him today, church family. God wants you to come to him exactly as you are. You see, whenever you go to God in prayer, I want you to know of this morning, church family, that you can come to him upset. Whenever you go to God in prayer, you can come to him with your tears. You can come to him crying. Whenever you go to God in prayer, you can go to him whenever you're hurt. You can go to him mad. You can go to him angry. Believe me, church family, he can handle it. He is God. Whenever you pray to God, again, come to him as you are. You can come to him even in confusion. You see, child of God, daughter of God, son of God, whenever you come to God in prayer, you do not have to have it all together. You don't have to have the right presentation. You don't even have to have the right words. God wants you to come to him honestly, just as you are. I love this psalm, Psalm 142, verse 2. With my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. You see, you can do that with God. He wants you to come to him just as you are, telling him your hurts, telling him your complaints, telling him your troubles, telling him your issues. You don't have to have it all together. He wants you just as you are. Psalm chapter 6, verse 8, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. In prayer today, let this text remind us that God wants you today and all the time to come to him honestly, just as you are. And he receives you in prayer, just as you are. Come to God today and pray honestly before him. That's exactly what he wants you to do. Next, we see in this incredible text today that Hannah acknowledged who she was praying to, the Lord of hosts. Hannah acknowledged who she was praying to, the Lord of hosts. Look at the beginning of verse 11. As she was praying, the text tells us that she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. You see, Hannah is the very first person in all of Scripture to call on God by calling him the Lord of hosts. This phrase, this word, Lord of hosts, it's a very powerful word. It can also be translated as the Lord Almighty. And you know what it means? It means that our God is the commander of heaven's armies. That's what it translates. It means that our God is the commander of the angel armies. You see, church family, our God is the ultimate commander in chief. Think about this. The myriads upon myriads of angels that are in the heavens are at God's beck and call, are at God's service, doing everything that he says. And Hannah recognized this. And this is who Hannah was praying to, the Lord of hosts, God, the commander of the angel armies. We sing that song, Whom Shall I Fear? And that this song, the chorus of this song, comes from this idea that our God is the commander of the heavens, that he is the commander of the angel armies. The chorus of that great song reads like this, Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever. He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And church family, please understand this morning, that whenever you pray, whenever you go to God honestly, just as you are, know that you are praying to the God who reigns over and controls all of heaven's armies. He is the Lord of hosts. All power is his. All authority is his. Nothing or no one is above him, and he can do anything. Be reminded of that today. Maybe today you have a prayer request. You have something that's on your heart. Know this, that you are talking to the Lord of hosts, and he can change your situation that quickly. That's the God that you're talking to. That's how powerful and awesome he is. Whenever you pray, go to God honestly and remember who you are praying to, the Lord of hosts. Come to God just as you are. You're talking to the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. Next, we see in this beautiful text that Hannah prayed in humility. She prayed in humility. Look at what she says in verse 11. She says, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant, and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son. Isn't this beautiful? In one small phrase, in one simple phrase, Hannah calls herself a servant three different times. This word servant, it could also be translated as handmaiden. Or even the word slave comes into play there as well. You see, Hannah did not come to God demanding from God. She didn't come to God entitled before him, telling God that God owes her something. No, what does Hannah do? She comes to God in humility. She comes to God as a servant. It reminds me of this incredible story from Luke chapter 18. Jesus actually tells the story. It says this, that two men went into the temple to pray. One of these men, it says, was a Pharisee. What was a Pharisee? A Pharisee was a religious leader of the day. And it says the other guy that went up to pray, the text tells us, was a tax collector. Notice the prayer of the Pharisee. Notice the prayer of the religious leader of the day. It says the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. What's this Pharisee doing? This Pharisee is coming to God in pride. This Pharisee is coming to God entitled, saying, God, look at me, look at who I am, look at what I have done. Look at what he says, this supposed religious leader of the day. He says, God, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Again, no humility there at all. Absolute and total and complete pride in his prayer to God. But look at this. Verse 13, it says, the tax collector was one of the day who was despised, hated because of what he did, because of who he was, a sinner of the day. But the tax collector, it says, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, this tax collector, one who was despised during this time period, he came to God in humility. He didn't come to God entitled. And look at what Jesus says. Look at what Jesus says about this tax collector. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Who's this man? That's the tax collector. He went down justified rather than the other. The Pharisee was not justified in his arrogance or his pride. Then notice what Jesus says about this idea of coming to God in prayer. He says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, whenever we pray to God, may we come to God in humility, just like Hannah did, as a servant, knowing who we are before him. Not going to God entitled, not going to God in pride, saying, God, look at what I've done, look at what I've accomplished. God, you owe me this. No, may we go to God realizing who he is, that he is the King of Kings, that he is the Lord of Lords, that he is the Lord of Hosts, that he controls all of heaven, that he controls everything. That we are his servants, that we are his people, that we are his children. And we go to God in humility in our prayers. Next, we see in this text as well that Hannah prayed specifically. She prayed specifically for God to do something. she says on into verse 11, she says, but will give to your servant a son. What's she doing here? She's asking God specifically for God to do something. She's asking God specifically to move in her life. She prayed specifically for what she wanted God to do. It reminds me of the story. Maybe I've read it before, but it reads like this. English Puritan preacher Philip Henry said that he had two children who were dangerously sick. After a time of wrestling in prayer for them, this preacher, he was praying specifically for his children. He wrote in his diary, if the Lord will be pleased to grant me my request this time concerning my children, I will not say as the beggars at our door used to do, I'll never ask anything of him again. But on the contrary, he shall hear oftener from me than ever, and I will love God the better and love prayer the better as long as I live. You see, whenever we go to God in prayer, we can pray to him specifically. God, do this. God, move in this area in my life. Do this, God, for your glory. You see, God wants us to pray specific and